WFXX.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy College.
It is time for a thrilling Thursday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff Byers, it's Scott Giese, and hey, it could be you.
Yes.
Your big showbiz break awaits at 814-954-7266. This is kind of our version of Center County's Got Talent.
Oh,
we want to see the talent that you bring to the table this morning. Somebody's got to bring it because it's just Scott and I here. No talent.
No talent.
We need somebody to bring it here this morning. Again, phone line open at 814-954-7266.
Or if you don't have talent but you have opinions, That'll do just fine.
That would be wonderful.
That'll do just fine.
Absolutely right. Hey, we're setting records, baby. USA! USA!
What are you talking about? What?
Longest shutdown ever! Hey! Ladies.
Yay.
Now flights are getting infected.
Oh, boy. How's that for timing?
Never mind.
All right. We got a busy show today.
Well, yeah, at least we're going into a quiet time on the travel front. Not like people are going to be trying to get home and see family from all over the place over the next month or so.
Wait a minute.
That's the timing at least wait a second. What?
Yeah, Thanksgiving is three weeks from today.
Oh, beautiful.
All right. And then Christmas is like 4 weeks after that.
Thanks, guys.
We got a busy show today. And yes, sometimes you just luck into things.
Pretty much the story of my life.
There we go. Okay. You just luck into things.
People are like, Ironhead, you have it all, don't you? I mean, you have the charming good looks. You're raking in hundreds of dollars. How good could life possibly be?
Dozens of
dollars.
And
I'm like, well, I kind of lucked into it.
Dozens of dollars. Is there such a thing? Dozens of dollars?
Well, I'm talking annually. I'm up to hundreds.
Oh, annually.
Annually, I rake in hundreds, pal.
Folks, he speaks the truth.
I mean, I don't like to brag like this on
I wouldn't
air, but
brag about this.
No?
No, I really wouldn't.
Well,
I'd move on.
All right.
Second hour, we're going to have a repeat guest that we had on actually a couple of months ago. Jennifer Rikoszewski is with a group called Affordable Skies. Now, we had Jennifer on about like Labor Day, so around Labor Day time. And we talked about airlines and, the high cost of airline tickets and insights into the industry and so on. And so we had a good interview with Jennifer. And after it was over, she reached out to me and she said, hey, that was great. Can I come on again sometime in November? We'll talk about holiday travel.
And Scott was like, no. And I'm like, no, let her come on, Scott.
Yeah.
And I ended up winning the
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah.
I said, absolutely.
Oh, that's right.
So we're going to talk to Jennifer in the 9 o'clock hour about holiday travel. But look at all the things that have happened recently. Oh, we have lots of things to talk about with Jennifer, okay? So stay tuned for that. That's going to be, her group, Affordable Skies, is growing, and she'll tell you how you can join. By the way, you can join for free if you want. That's up to you. And some other insights there. And, yes, all this craziness involving airlines right now.
I don't even have to reach into my hundreds of dollars to get this thing.
No.
This is amazing.
You can. I'm a member. When I heard about her group, I thought, I want to be a member. So I went on their website and joined up, became a member. So I'm on their email list. Okay, that's being a member. Okay. So she'll talk all about that, and then we'll get into the heavier airline subjects, like this announcement yesterday that starting, tomorrow,
yep.
FAA wants to cut back about 10% of all flights based out of 40 main airports. And they didn't name the airports. That's supposed to happen today. Now, I can take a good guess at some of these 40, all right? They're the 40 hubs, the 40 biggest airports in the country. You don't have to think too long to guess. The question might be, and we'll see if Jennifer can maybe answer this next hour, is State College Airport, of course. If you're flying out of here, where are you flying to? Well, you're flying to Chicago, or you're flying to Dulles, or you're flying to Philadelphia. I'd bet money those three airports right there are probably in this 40. And then the question is, okay, if they're cutting back on flights, could it be regional flights that they're going to primarily cut back on? Well, guess what? That would affect us, like directly, if you fly out of here. So we'll see what other stuff Jennifer has to tell us. This should be a good interview. All right. And yes, if you're doing any kind of holiday travel, either in the next couple of weeks or in December, you want to pay attention. All right, so listen for that. There we go.
By the way, I apologize to a lot of the families that are in the agriculture industry. I misunderstood yesterday,
what?
And I wanted to be proactive and let my voice be heard. I thought it was the FFA that was affecting these flights, and so I called and I railed into those folks. I'm like, you can't be cutting 10% of the flights. What, you don't even, you shouldn't have any say in this. You focus on the farms and getting food on my table, yes. And I don't know why you're canceling these flights. And then eventually somebody pointed, no, it's not the FFA, it's the FAA.
Oh.
So I apologize for a couple of nasty phone calls made yesterday to our farming community.
Yeah.
I just misunderstood being sent out.
We don't want future farmers of America students like marching on the station. All right, don't do that.
No, my apologies.
But Ironhead's home address is, well, no, let's move on. Let's move on.
Hey, no.
Let's not do that. All right, what do we have here today? First off, weather. All right.
We definitely have weather. Good call, dude.
Well, we had some yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Big time winds yesterday and last night. Now, that wind advisory is pretty much done. Although, I swear, I didn't measure this. Did it hit 70 degrees yesterday? It was really warm yesterday at one point. At least at my house it was.
Yeah, but it was a bad hair day.
Well,
much better hair day today. Do you see how nicely coiffed
my hair
is?
Well, you have shorter hair, I think, than I do, so that's okay. Can't help but notice, first off, it's definitely colder this morning. Now, we've been warning you, all right? Here comes, I don't know, call it an early winter snap. And yes, early next week, we may see white things flying through the sky. And all right, we're talking about snowflakes, by the way. I should be careful how I describe that. Anyway, could not help but notice the last, like this week, a lot of heating oil trucks out and about. Passed two of them this morning. They're out early giving people their heating oil, I guess, allotment or something like that. Yeah, here it comes. Now, checking the West Penn Power outage map, somehow, by a miracle, our studio kept all its power yesterday. That never happens. We always seem to get zinged, all right? And we get knocked off the air, or our computers get knocked offline or something like that. Now, there is, now this is ironic. Did you see this, Mr. Ironhead? There is a rather significant power outage. It's supposed to be about 600 people or 600, is it people? 600 customers. All right, that's probably more than people. And if I'm reading this right, it is very close to Science Park Road.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's essentially behind us, where apparently some trees went down yesterday or last night. And so the power folks, there's another one, I think, over, where's that one? Over toward Toff Trees, I think, says tree damage. So if you're in those affected areas, I know, what a pain in the butt. Allegedly, this map claims that it's supposed to be, the power is supposed to be back on by 11 a.m. Another one here, it says 1 p.m. today. All right, so we'll see if that holds. Hopefully it does, and hopefully that wasn't you. All right. Now, I don't know. Maybe all that wind yesterday blew away all those yard signs that have been in, like all over the place, because of my drive-in this morning. I'm like, wow, Nice and clean. Nice and clean. Yay! Ring the bell. Nice and clean. Thank you. So a lot of you, I won't say all of you, a lot of you heeded us yesterday when we said, get those things out of the lawn. Just get them out. Just throw them away. Get rid of them. Put them in your basement. Whatever. Just get them out. Vote yes. Vote no. Just get them out. Okay? And most people did. So, yay. Thank you very much. Unless the wind blew them away. Maybe that's what it was.
Well,
the wind blew them away. All right? Now, again, we have a guest today. We have an open line program tomorrow. You know, kind of a recap of the election on Tuesday. We'll probably save more of that for tomorrow because we'll have open time and you can call in and the whole nine yards, okay? Obviously, a lot of chatter the last couple of days on social media, especially everybody weighing in with their opinions and so on. One I noticed, now again, I'm an ex-Twitter guy. Facebook, no, I'm sorry, not interested. TikTok, I guess I'm too old. I don't know what it is. But ex-Twitter, John Ziegler had a comment yesterday. Now, if you were listening Friday, John joined you talking about the Jerry Sandusky case, which he has looked into rather extensively over the years. But on ex-Twitter, John pretty much opines about whatever he wants to opine about. Okay, and so this was his comment yesterday tied to the election on Tuesday. All right. Now, this is not me. This is John Ziegler, our guest from the other day. His comment was, this is a quote, "The United States of America has been slowly sliding into the abyss for quite some time. After tonight, now Tuesday night, after Tuesday night, especially after Mamdani's win and speech, which has gotten a lot of coverage, and with the AI revolution on the horizon, I'm totally convinced that we are now falling fast to our imminent and irreversible demise." Whoa. All right, that's, oosh. That's
donut pretty, anybody?
That's pretty, that's pretty pessimistic. All right, now, Scott here, I'm not that pessimistic, but his thoughts do kind of make you think a little bit, don't they? All right. Now, again, this probably happened. This happened a year ago when Donald Trump was reelected president. All right. The two, three, whatever days after that, some people were shrieking and crying and moaning and I'm leaving. I'm moving to Australia or something, blah, blah, blah. Same thing happened. Now, this case, the same thing's happening in a different direction. Okay. I'm going to call it normal, but it's not unexpected for people to say that. Now, having said that, again, tomorrow, especially tomorrow, we're going to try to dissect this election campaign. What went right for certain folks? What went wrong for certain folks? What does the future hold? Maybe just for certain folks, not necessarily all of us. All right, we don't all live in New York City. Thank you very much. This guy, Zohran Mamdani, is now the mayor-elect of New York City. Now, he doesn't officially take over till January 1st. That's the way it works. And, yes, he won, which, again, hindsight being 2020, it's no surprise that he won on Tuesday. First off, it was predicted for a long time. Not like, surprise! No, this was pretty much predicted for a long time. Who was he running against? Not exactly a big-time bunch, you know? Andrew Cuomo, the disgraced former governor of New York. Yeah, that's a good choice. Curtis Sliwa might be a great guy. He was the Republican candidate. In a sense, there are no Republicans in New York City. I mean, we're talking single digits. It's less than 10%. New York City is absolutely blue. And so, and now blue goes a couple of ways. Blue could mean Democrat, all right? Blue could mean, oh boy, you know, things are really expensive here and we're kind of sad, that kind of blue. So, blue, all right? So, no surprise, really, that Mamdani was the winner, given who he was running against. But then he makes, you know, he makes a victory speech. That's what you do on Tuesday night. And there was just one line in his victory speech that I thought, okay, not surprised by this line. The line here, this is a quote from his speech on Tuesday night. We will keep in mind this guy Mbambi is an out and out socialist. Absolutely, positively. I mean, come on. If you don't believe that, you haven't been paying attention. His quote was, quote, we will prove that there is no problem too large for government to solve and no concern too small for it to care about. And when that got posted on social media, oh my gosh, it exploded. All right, the outrage on social media. Now think about this. All right, let me repeat this line. This is from this guy, this 34-year-old, that's all he is, 34-year-old mayor of New York City, who's an out-and-out socialist. I mean, people have been using the term communist. That might be a shade strong, at least right now. His comment again, we will prove that there is no problem too large for government to solve and no concern too small for it to care about. That's exactly what a socialist would say. There's no surprise. I don't know why there's outrage. Guy's a socialist. There it is. Now, there's a line I've used a pile of times on this show. If you're a regular listener, you know what I'm going to say. All right? And some of you believe this. I don't, but you do. Okay. And the line is, only the government can solve problems. Well, that is what a socialist would believe. Now, by the way, if you disagree with me, 814-954-7266. We have a phone line. Call us in. We don't ask your name. We'll give you the floor. You can state your opinion, all that sort of stuff. Only the government can solve problems. Some of you believe that. Mr. Mamdani clearly does. I would say from observation, a number of other Democrats, all right, do. This election is so fascinating in so many different ways this week. First off, the line, off your election, get rid of that. All right, just, there is no such thing as an off your election. There just isn't. Get rid of that term. It's baloney. I want to see some stories, or at least a story. We talk about the divides that we have in our society today. And usually it's on, you know, skin color or background or, you know, money and so on. There's one divide that gets very little coverage. And I wish it would get a lot more. Just sort of an examination. And that divide is essentially city folks and rural folks. City folks and rural folks do not think the same, do we? No, I might, hopefully, maybe we have somebody listening, like on our stream, 987thefox.info, you're from a city, all right? You're listening in, you're from a city. By the way, you can call in, too. It doesn't matter where you are. City folks just think differently than rural folks. And so a socialist in a city, yeah, I can see how that fits. City folks essentially, all right, now this is an opinion, all right? City folks want things done for them. Plow the streets. Crime, get police out there. And so they want things done for them. Where rural folks, and I'm a rural folk, it's more like, okay, how can I get this done? How do I plow, you know, my driveway? Or how do I, you know, help a neighbor, you know, plow out when there's a snowstorm? And that sort of thing. We just figure out how to get things done. City folks want things done for them. So it's no surprise if a socialist is in charge of cities, or most of our cities in America have a Democrat mayor. They do. Or State College does. All right, hello. Nothing against Mr. Naines. I think Mr. Naines is great. I like him. But I'm thinking more like borough council. Well, whoop to the left. Like whoop over to the left.
You think?
Because
I hadn't noticed.
Oh, please. All right. Because the idea is, well, we're here to do things for the people. Okay, but how much is this going to cost?
They're from the government, and they're here to help.
Oh, yeah, that old Ronald Reagan line from 40 years ago or whatever that was. Mamdani coming in, he's making lots of promises and claims. Free buses. Now, that's an interesting one, free buses. Do I assume the bus drivers are working for free? The people who
that's awfully nice.
Maintenance, the buses and whatever, they're working for free? Are the subways going to be free next? All those people that work for, you know, the New York subway and so on, they're working for free? Of course they're not working for free. They're all getting paid. Well, who's paying it? Well, the one I like is the government-run grocery stores. All right, that's very interesting. Government-run grocery stores. Now, folks, take a moment and think about this. Government-run grocery stores. So the government controls the grocery store, which means...
What could possibly go wrong?
They control what's in the grocery store.
As it should be.
And they control what you can buy in the grocery store. Do you really want that?
Well, sure. They would know what's best for us.
As opposed to a standard grocery store that has a lot of, if you will, everything, and you get to pick and choose what you want, a government-run grocery store can pretty much tell you what you can buy. Now dispute this. Now, we got to take a break here in a couple minutes. Maybe later on, if we have a little open time, you want to call in and dispute this. A government-run grocery store will tell you what you can buy. Now, some of you apparently, oh, that's fine. And again, young people especially went heavily for Mom Donnie Tuesday. I'll tell you what, we're going to stop right there, all right, because we have to take a break. We have our sports segment and other things on the show today. But it's something to think about for the future. I mean, some people are just petrified of this Mom Donnie guy. I'm not. I think he's going to hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. Because common sense is going to start to kick into gear at some point. Not that we, you know, it's not, don't like the guy and whatever. It's just what he wants to do is not the right direction to go in. Now, that's one man's opinion. Again, he doesn't start till January 1st. I'll be very curious to see what he tries to do in his first week in office. That'll be interesting, so stay tuned for that. All right, we've got to take a break. Let's see, we've got our sports segment coming up. Got plenty of that. Again, affordable skies and all this stuff with airlines right now. We have a guest on that. What dumb luck. How about that? Man, are we good or what? Or lucky. All right, so you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
It's a busy world. Too many things grabbing your attention. On the radio, you want a show that talks to what you're thinking about. And yeah, some laughs to break up the stress. That show is Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox. This is Scott Giese. Join me and Jeff Byers for talk every day on the topics that interest you, that make you angry, that make you want to know more. Big topics, local topics, news or sports, and your calls and comments. Start your day with a show to get the brain cells firing. Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there, stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and we'll have some open phone time coming up a bit later, and we're talking cheap airfare later in the program as well.
Maybe not.
Well, it's all relative.
Well, okay, move on.
It's all relative. Penn State football team, more than a two-touchdown underdog at home against second-ranked and undefeated Indiana here on Saturday. The Nittany Lions looking to snap a five-game losing streak and looking to shock the college football world in the noon kickoff against the Hoosiers. Again, this will be the first game for the Nittany Lions in their home confines since James Franklin was fired. A lot of speculation out there, and it is just that. Speculation as to who the next head coach will be, and a lot of speculation about where James Franklin will end up with his next stop in the coaching career. We'll discuss that and more on this afternoon's Goon and Ironhead show from 2 to 4 right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The Penn State swimming and diving team is on the road and will face Army West Point today and tomorrow. The diving team will be competing today starting at 5 o'clock, and then the swim events will be held tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock. And see if the Nittany Lions can keep things going in the positive direction here in the early stages of their season. Penn State women's tennis team sending three student athletes to Chapel Hill, North Carolina for the ITA East Sectional, which gets underway today. Brianna Baldy and Micah Uchijima will be competing in singles. Uchijima will then pair with Olivia Dorner in doubles action. Baldy will take on Virginia Tech's Özlem Uslu at 10 a.m. in the round of 32. Uchijima will face Duke's Shavit Kimchi at 11:15 this morning. And then in the doubles action, it'll be Dorner and Uchijima teaming up to take on a team from Duke at 1:45 this afternoon. That will be in the round of 16. College wrestling season is underway. The top-ranked Nittany Lions will be opening up their season a week from tomorrow night against Oklahoma in a Bryce Jordan Center duel. Individually, Penn State has nine wrestlers ranked in the Intermat rankings this week. Luke Lilladol is third at 125. Braden Davis, ninth at 141. Shane Van Ness, number one at 149. Tyler Kasak, second at 157. Mitchell Messenbrink, number one at 165. Levi Haynes, number one at 174. Rocco Welsh, number two at 184. Josh Barr, number one at 197. And Cole Mirror Sola checking in at 11th at heavyweight. It's not a bad lineup that Cal Sanderson has put together for this year's squad.
A lot of ones and twos in there.
Well, I mean, they could be pretty decent. May want to keep an eye on them. They host the Big Ten tournament at the end of the season. I look for a top five finish at the conference tournament for the Nittany Lions this year.
Oh.
If they can stay healthy and get some breaks along the
way. Very conservative prediction.
Keep an eye on them.
Okay.
Big Ten basketball also underway along with the rest of the college basketball world this week. In Big Ten hoops last night, it was Rutgers over Rider, 81-53, and Indiana rolled to a 98-51 win over Alabama A&M. Also, one game tonight, it'll be Washington hosting Denver. In women's basketball last night, in the Big Ten, Wisconsin downed Oakland 79-68, and Northwestern held off IU Indianapolis 67-64. Tonight, in the National Football League, it'll be the Las Vegas Raiders visiting the Denver Broncos. You can listen for that very game with coverage starting at 7:30 this evening right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The Pittsburgh Penguins have lost their last two games and now sit at 8-4-2 on the season. The beloved Pens have a big one tonight, hosting the Washington Capitals. That game at PPG Paints Arena will face off at 7:30.
And Ovechkin just scored his 900th goal.
Wow. Yeah, some fellow by the name of Alex Ovechkin, some fellow by the name of Sidney Crosby, for some reason, I'm noticing the TV hype for this one seems to be featuring those two unheard-of individuals quite a bit.
Unheard-of, yes.
Philadelphia Flyers will be in Nashville tonight. Oh, I'd like to go to Nashville. Fun place. They're going to play a hockey game there, though. The Flyers are 7-5-1 on the season. Face-off is set for 8 p.m. And in the NBA, the Cavaliers handed the 76ers their second straight loss last night, 132-121. And that is a little something we like to call sports. It is interesting listening to different people's thoughts on who will be the next head coach at Penn State and who they think should be the next head coach at Penn State. Again, we'll have some fun, delve into that a little bit this afternoon on the Goon and Ironhead show. One of the things that is making this challenging and we talked about this on our show Tuesday afternoon a little bit, is the timing of this. Because of the transfer portal and because of the playoff schedule, if you're going after a playoff coach, whether a head coach or an assistant, like the timing is not good here.
No.
For not just Penn State, any of these programs now that are looking for a new head coach. You have three prominent jobs opened up in the SEC now with Auburn, LSU, and Florida. A number of openings all across the country here. And I don't know. It is going to be really interesting to see how all of this shakes out. And again, Penn State feels like they have put themselves in a position here where, like, they just have to get this right. Pat Kraft has to make this a home run hire. And I don't mean a home run in terms of, boy, can you believe the buzz and the splash. At the end of the day, that is irrelevant. It really is. I know in the moment, it's either going to be, really? That's what you came up with? Or, oh, right. It doesn't matter. That initial reaction, that'll create a buzz for a week or two. What this is about is, can Penn State get in serious contention with whoever this next head coach is? I'm saying within 3 years. Like, they need to be knocking, hello,
three.
National title in this world of college football. If you're not there in 3 years, bye-bye. We need to move on. We got to find somebody, and Penn State has now entered that world. Back-to-back losses by James Freck, we can't tolerate that. Well, now, I mean, Penn State has joined, and I'm not arguing good or bad. I'm just telling you, they are right there with the other big-time programs, and it's not like the old days. Well, you got to let them get their own recruiting class. Nope, not the world we're living in, folks. Not with the transfer portal, not with NIL. If you're not right there, I mean right there, in 3 years, it is the pressure with this hire and with what Penn State needs to do immediately is pretty darn significant. It's going to be very, very interesting. And again, it's not just Penn State. We have a number of high-profile jobs around the country. There may be a good number more that open up even before the end of the season, but certainly at season's end. There's some critical games coming up on the schedule this weekend and in the following few weeks that are going to determine some of the teams that will be in or out of the playoff field, and whether the fan bases are judging this as a good season, successful season by whatever expectations were there at the start, or a failure. And if it is a failure in many of these cases, again, it's going to be administrations are going to be making the determination, yeah, we got to get somebody in here that can get us back into national title contention, playoff spots, pretty immediately. 2-3 years is kind of the window now.
All right.
It is a different world that we're living in.
Well, it's the who and it's the when.
The when is such a fascinating component to me.
I mean,
absolutely.
Sometime this month, November, sometime like a day after the regular season is over.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Because you're right. Penn State's not doing this all by themselves. There's that school, that school, that school, that school, that school. There's a bunch of them, right? So the who and the when. I mean, I keep seeing Mike Elko from Texas A&M. What's Texas A&M ranked at right now? Number three, four?
Three.
Okay. He's going to jump ship from a number three school and come here? And some people, they're convinced somehow. I'm very skeptical. And if he's number three and they stay in the top 12, which Texas A&M should this year, even if they would, you know, like lose a game somewhere, he's going to be a little busy. What, he's going to get up and leave in the middle of the college football playoff? No. I mean, come on, common sense. No. So, yeah, the who and the when. That's very interesting. The who and the when.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, Texas A&M, by the way, has a big one at Missouri this weekend. And they have, you know, Texas, obviously, at the end of the year. This is going to be a fascinating stretch run in the college football season.
Now, Bo Prabula is hurt.
Yes.
For Missouri, although apparently not as bad as what they originally
thought. Yeah, I'm reading different. I think it is unlikely he's back in the regular season, but different things, yeah.
Does he have another year of eligibility? I think he does, doesn't he?
He should, yeah.
No, Penn State
came in. Yeah,
Penn State could use an extra quarterback next year.
Yes, he yeah,
that would be interesting. Oh shoot, what's the kid's name? Peyton Falzone, who is from Pennsylvania,
and
was committed here at some point. Then he decided, nah, I'm going to Auburn. Well, Auburn fired their coach.
Yeah.
So they, I mean, I've seen this kid's name floating around. Again, this is insane. The NIL and the transfer portal are the two giant wild cards. Like, okay, if you work it right, it's like going to Vegas. If you gamble it right, you could be a big winner. If you don't, that's the Bronx cheer. All right, down you go. It's frustrating. It's fascinating. It's pressure filled. Like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I've mentioned this before earlier this week. We got this game with Indiana on Saturday. Okay. Now, Indiana's number two in the country. That's great. That should bring a big crowd, right? How many Penn State fans have essentially moved on? In other words, it's like, well, okay. No, this season's over. When does wrestling start? Okay, next week. Hockey teams, or both of them, are doing great.
Very, very good.
Basketball is now underway.
Yeah.
All right, a long way to go there. Football, yep. It's like, I want to see the crowd on Saturday. I think this weather's supposed to be okay. I want to see, and granted, they're playing number two. If it was Little Sisters of the Poor, okay, I get it. Number two should draw a big crowd, but I just wonder how many Penn State fans have moved on. Just moved on.
Yeah. I mean, it tends to be a late arriving crowd in the student section for the noon kickoffs anyway. I think the stadium will be pretty well filled at the start of the game. I think, folks, it's still just part of our fall rituals as Penn State fans. Is, hey, yeah, I already have the tickets. I love the tailgating. Maybe you see one magical moment in the season. But what I am more curious about is if this thing is 24/7 at halftime, how many folks stick around for more than a half of football here on Saturday? Now, if Penn State plays out of its mind and gives them a reason, hey, it's like they did in Columbus, 17-14 type of game at halftime, hopefully they'd be able to put together a better second half at Beaver Stadium than what they did out at Ohio Stadium last week. But that, to me, is going to be interesting. I'm also curious to see just kind of the mood. I almost feel like it is going to be largely indifferent. I mean, the students will make some noise at the start, but they, again, you're looking for that one. I mean, this is their last opportunity to have a moment this season that it's like, all right, well, that was special. If they lose this one, there is no opportunity. They can win the remaining games, and there's not going to be a quote-unquote special moment in there. Now, maybe the seniors would argue, hey, if we can walk off the field as a winner in our final game, fine as far as it goes. But, I mean, it's not one of those that you're going to look back on and, wow, can you believe I was there when Penn State beat a four-loss Nebraska team? I mean, okay. That's just not going to be. But opportunity here anyway against Indiana. But I think this crowd is largely, again, I think they'll be there. I think the numbers will be there. But I think it's going to be a largely indifferent crowd. It's going to be the old school golf clap when they do well.
Oh boy!
Okay. You know, hey, let's get to the parking lot early, get back home, call it a day, type of thing is what my guess is for Saturday's overall mood.
It will be interesting to see.
It is. It's going to be.
Now, at the last home game, there was a lot of booing. All right. I don't expect that to happen. Well, I don't know.
Now, the scapegoat, I mean, the traditional scapegoats of James Franklin and Drew Aller are, you can't use them now, folks. Like, it's, and I mean, really, you're going to boo Gronkmeyer and his first start at Beaver State. I mean, come on. Like, hopefully they're not, that ridiculous. And I think everybody is rooting for Terry Smith. Again, Terry Smith did not ask to be put in this position. He is doing a service to his alma mater, by filling in and, doing the very best he can in really difficult circumstances. So I don't know what booing, I don't know what impact you think that's going to have, other than maybe, I guess, just letting out a little personal frustration in the way the season has gone. But it's like, all right, at this point, you got what you wanted, and now you just, to me, this is just a wait and see what ultimately happens moving forward with the program. To a very large degree, players, if you're listening, turn off the radio here for a moment. To a very large degree, the remaining games here are absolutely irrelevant to Penn State and its future. It does not matter. It really doesn't. Whether Penn State wins another game, wins out, I don't see the benefit of going to a bowl game. I think that would be ludicrous at this point. It's going to have, I guess, if you can get to 6-6, at least you have the non-losing season that goes into the record books. I mean, there's something, I guess, there. But we don't know how many of these players are going to be here next year. Very unlikely that many of these coaches will be here. Chance that maybe two or three could still be part of the staff next year. But so, the things that you're normally looking for. Well, you want to finish up strong and see what these young guys have. Yeah, a lot of those young guys aren't going to be here next year is the thing.
Wow. Okay. Quick note before we take a break. Veterans Day is next week. Now, this game on Saturday is their military appreciation game. That's cool. CATA runs this shuttle service to the games. If you are either current or former military, you can get a free ride.
Hey, hey, hey.
Now, you need to have your military ID, whatever that is, right? So you have to prove your military. This runs from Hills Plaza up Atherton Street through State College to Beaver Stadium. Before the game, let's see, the game's at noon. The buses will start running at 9. So you can get a free ride. And then, now here's one thing to note. The buses start running essentially right when the game's over. It only goes for about an hour. So if you want to do some tailgating after the game, you're probably not taking the bus. But if you're military, hey, you want to pay $100 for a parking space? I don't. Take the bus. All right? So that's a CATA thing. So be on the lookout. That's this Saturday. Very cool. The CATA shuttle service runs anyway, but if you're military, you get to ride for free. So that's kind of neat. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have a little open line time. Again, we're going to talk about airlines and all the craziness going on right now, and the holidays are coming. Oh, boy, with a special guest coming up next hour. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio.
Fox Sports.
know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. It is Jeff Byers and Scott Giese, and yep, it could be you. Phone line is open at 814-954-7266. Anything on your mind this morning, fair game, 814-954-7266.
Again, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Jennifer Rikoszewski, from the group called Affordable Skies. We had Jennifer on a couple of months ago. We booked her for today to talk about holiday travel, and then all these other things started happening. So we got a lot of things to talk about.
The holidays coming up, probably more flights. Prices are going to just continue to plummet. Great opportunity. Should be a wonderful travel season for everybody.
Maybe I better do the interview by myself.
Huh?
Because that's not
I would think
that's not what you're going to be hearing, I don't think, when we have Jennifer on. So that's in a few minutes. Let me stick with sports here a little bit, all right? Mr. Wrestling.
Yeah.
All right. So in the last segment, you had those wrestling rankings. And again, it's almost embarrassing. Number one, number two, number one, number one, number one, number two. It's crazy. Now, here's my thought. You're Mr. Wrestling. I'm not. All right. What about the new guys, the brand new guys that are new to the team? The Japanese fellow, Marcus Blaze. I didn't hear you mention their names.
Well, Intermat does not. They just do not rank the freshmen until they get some college matches under their belt. That's just been their policy. And the Intermat rankings, there's all kinds of rankings out there. I think there's probably 7-8 different publications and folks that put out wrestling rankings. But the Big Ten, a number of years ago, said, listen, we're going with Intermat. Just, you got to pick somebody, and whatever criteria was used, that's what the Big Ten uses. So the Intermat rankings never have a true freshman coming in ranked in that initial preseason poll. So no big deal that Marcus Blaise isn't ranked. He will, I suspect, move up pretty quickly. And yes, I believe Marcus Blaise will be the guy at 133 this season for the Nittany Lions. They're also making some guesses at some weight classes, or just going with the wrestler who competed last year in assuming that they will be the guy, or at least that's who they're going to list as the ranked wrestler here at the start of the season. But number of weight classes where Penn State has some options for sure in the upcoming season, and we'll see how everything plays out. But yeah, Penn State in very good shape going into the season with this remarkable group of incoming freshmen, and it is a truly remarkable group when you look at the accolades and the credentials they bring with them to Happy Valley. They are going to make an impact, whether or not it's this season or next or over the next few years. We're going to hear a lot about this class of great wrestlers.
What about the young man from Japan? Where's he fit in?
Yeah, I think this year, and listen, it's a fluid thing. I don't think any of this is set in stone. Injuries obviously could factor in. Maybe somebody just takes the step over the course of the next couple of months, and it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's hammering our starter. We can't keep him out of the lineup. But I think for several reasons, they would like to keep this a year where Ono redshirts and then maintains his eligibility. One of the things that is still, I think, not entirely clear, unless they've cleared it up in the last week, which is possible, and I'm just not aware of it, but the NCAA has been very slow to determine the number of years of eligibility that Ono has. It seems like he definitively has two, although I'm not even taking that 100% to the bank, but the question is whether or not he has a third year that he could use, and that, I think, is still, unless within the last week it's been settled, again, possible that it has, and I'm just not aware of it, but they are trying to make that determination. But, you know, this is a man who has not competed in folk-style wrestling the way the rest of that lineup has throughout their high school and younger careers. And so it's a different type of wrestling, a lot of similarities, but some important differences when it comes to the mat wrestling and the techniques there. So I think part of it is that. I also think part of it is, again, you're talking about a young man from Japan now in the college situation here at Penn State. And I just think having a year to make that acclimation to all of the things that come with college life in a foreign country for him would make sense if they're able to let him redshirt, kind of see what this college season is all about, maybe get some tournaments under his belt in folk style, and just continue to work to refine some things. So I think that the preference would be to redshirt Ono for the upcoming season.
Actually, that's an interesting thought. Penn State men's basketball team, of course, has a bunch of foreign-born players this year. And I guess I've never thought about, okay, acclimating yourself not only to America, but acclimating yourself to a college in America and
yep.
going to class and, you know, all that stuff you're supposed to do,
yep.
that's a major change. I guess I've never really thought much about that.
It is, and Mike Rhodes has talked about it a little bit. It's again, these guys are trying to fit in with the basketball program and the system there, and figure out how this works in terms of what Mike Rhodes is running and wants them to do. So there is that component, but yeah, it's you're coming in from overseas. I mean, it's an adjustment for most folks, pretty significant adjustment for most of us, just to the college life to begin with. You know, new places that you're living, different arrangements than you're probably used to in terms of, you know, the housing and who you're living with. And then, again, you factor in even things like food and things that the food is not that much different, even if you're going to college in Florida or Pennsylvania or Iowa, but a little more different from Japan or Sweden. And so, yeah, again, it's a lot that you're asking folks to adjust to, and some people make that adjustment easier than others, but I think having a little time to get your feet planted, figure out, all right, this is where I'm going on campus for my classes. These are the classes I like. These are the classes I might need a little help in. All of those things. Again, that occurs with any student, let alone student athlete. But, yeah, you had somebody coming in from a foreign country. It's that much more of an adjustment for sure.
It is. All right, let's take a break. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the skies.
All right.
Well, some of us want to go to the skies. Other folks are being delayed. Oh, boy, a lot of questions for our guest here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. Going to be fun, maybe, when we come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox, State College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday. Jeff and Scott with you, and we will have a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
All right. It's been a heavy week, right? Oh, election, you know, disputes, controversies, all this sort of stuff. And so when I scheduled this, our interview here a couple of months ago, I thought, oh, this will be an easier one. Because we've done this before. First off, let's welcome our guest, Jennifer Rykoczewski from Affordable Skies. Jennifer, first off, good morning. Thanks for coming back to join us today. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on again.
All right.
This is great. And I have to say, you said my last name correct. No one ever does, and that's okay. But I was very impressed.
Well, Jennifer, number one, we had you on 2 months ago, and you gave me a pronouncer. So I just wrote it.
Oh, I know I did.
I just wrote it down.
Still botched it.
Even with that, yeah, I can understand.
Now, if you're a regular listener, we had Jennifer on 2 months ago. It was around Labor Day time or thereabouts. About her group, Affordable Skies, and we had a good interview that day. And after the show, 2 months ago, Jennifer dropped me a line. Hey, let's do this again. We can talk about holiday travel. I'm like, great. All right. Early November would be a good time. Jennifer, we're going to talk about a lot more than holiday travel today. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I am ready.
Okay, good, because it's been rather nutty here this fall. First off, let's get some background, all right? If you would, tell us something about you, you know, your background and so on. And then your organization is called Affordable Skies, of mm-hmm. which I joined. I'm a member. So tell us about you and then tell us about Affordable Skies.
Yeah, so me, I have a background in business development and political campaign strategy. I started working with an industry leader several years back on a special project, and I really got to learn about the commercial aviation space through working with him. And lo and behold, after that project ended, the idea came for me to potentially start this organization, this nonprofit, Affordable Skies. We advocate for safe and affordable air travel for all Americans, which is very important. There hasn't been another organization out there like this. We're quite unique. But I do want to mention to your audience that we have over 6,000 members now, 6,000 in less than 10 months. So clearly our mission does resonate with folks, but I'm really excited because I am very passionate about Affordable Skies and making sure that travelers have a voice in aviation. They haven't quite had a voice in aviation before, but now they do. And we're doing a lot of great things with our organization. So, yes, thank you for having me on, and I'm excited to dive in and talk about what we're doing here.
Well, let's mention your website is affordableskies.org. It's all one word, affordableskies.org. And if you go there, or when you go there, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. Jennifer, we're honored that we're posted on your website. That's kind of cool. Thank you.
Yes, yes. I wanted to make sure I plugged you guys in. You had me on during Labor Day, and so I appreciate the partnership, rather.
Now, did you say a couple minutes ago you have a background in political campaign organization?
Strategy, yes.
Strategy?
So at one point I was a campaign manager in Nevada, and I've also been hired to oversee campaign strategies for various campaigns around the United States.
All right. This is totally off the subject. Then we'll get back to airlines. The election, okay. Whatever, all the stuff this week, did anything stick out for you? You don't have to get partisan or political, just from a campaign strategy standpoint. Did anything stand out for you this week?
It's what I expected, honestly. It's really what I expected. You know, voters are upset. You know, they're upset with what they see. There's been false promises to so many people, and they want to stand up and they want their voice to be heard. So people are voting. They're voting more.
Okay. Yeah, actually some, I don't call them record numbers this week, but in some places, I guess
exactly.
It was. A lot of people turned out. So there we go.
Yep.
All right. Now, I mentioned that your group, Affordable Skies, I'm a member. Now, I'm a free member in this case.
Mm-hmm.
For folks that do any kind of flying, why should they maybe join Affordable Skies, and then how do they do that?
So, again, we champion safe, affordable air travel for all. What we do is we deliver research, education, and advocacy to empower travelers and ensure that their voices are heard. So So again, we have that free membership that gets you sort of our newsletter with industry updates. You get to participate in surveys and focus groups. And then if you purchase our premium membership, which is $10 a year, we've got to keep it affordable. We're Affordable Skies. That unlocks our access to live Q&A webinars with top industry experts and travelers. You get invitations to events that we're going to be hosting that we have planned to host in the upcoming year. So, yes, we have the two membership options, and it really just keeps you engaged in what's going on in air travel as a whole.
Now, you have a relatively new feature called the Members Access Lounge, which I checked it out yesterday. I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Describe, what is this lounge?
Well, the Members Access Lounge was designed to sort of open up an avenue or a portal for our members to connect with our leadership, to connect with just each other. I think of it like chat room reinvented. There aren't too many real chat rooms out there anymore, but hey, if you go in the Affordable Skies Members Access Lounge, there you go, you have a chat room. And it's really great because folks are asking some awesome questions about the industry. They're wanting clarification on topics, and they just more so just want a sense of community, and that's what they get with the Access Lounge, that community with us.
And you have something else, I need some background here, called the Ambassador Program. What exactly is that?
So we're designing an ambassador program that's actually going to launch on December 17th, which marks our one-year anniversary. And I just want to backpedal a little bit. We recently conducted a survey, and we launched that survey prior to the pandemic. The shutdown. And it was real interesting because, you know, 67% of those that responded to our survey, which were 952 responses, 67% said that they want to be part of our program. So after looking at those results, our team came together and said, well, how can we support, you know, the 67%? And we came up with the idea of starting this ambassador program. So we're designing it currently. We're going to launch it on our one-year anniversary, which is December 17th, and we're going to equip these ambassadors to go out in their communities and share our mission with folks, to get them plugged in and engaged with Affordable Skies.
Okay, that sounds interesting. So, again, folks, the website is affordableskies.org. A lot of information there on all sorts of different things. Now, Jennifer, we're going to talk about holiday travel, which was the original reason we booked you to come back here in November. I'm going to save that for a little later, all right? Let's tackle the heavy issues right now, okay? And right off the bat, this announcement this week that the FAA, starting, what, tomorrow, is going to cut back 10% of flights across the country tied to, I think, 40, I'm assuming, all major airports. All right, for folks that maybe don't pay attention to news that closely, or they like, what's he talking about? Give your background. What was this ruling this week, and why are they making it?
So the FAA, they're wanting to reduce sort of, you mentioned flights in the 40 high traffic markets by 10%. So that's due to staffing, the shortfalls resulting from the government shutdown. It's important for them to do this. I mean, you think about it, like, let's talk about, first of all, the air traffic controllers. They're the backbone of our aviation system. They coordinate around 44,000 flights across the United States every day. They keep planes separated. They guide the pilots through takeoffs and landings. And they manage some of the most complex traffic patterns in the world. You know, so when passengers are waiting to take off or land, it's the controllers behind the scenes that are making sure everything happens safely and efficiently. So, I mean, that to keep that system running, they deserve full support, of course, especially now as many are continuing to work without pay during the shutdown. It's very important that the FAA does do this, and they did announce that yesterday, and they're going to implement this policy starting tomorrow so that they can sort of, like, control what is happening here, you know, with the sort of shutdown and how this is affecting aviation safety.
Okay, 40 major airports, which I think are supposed to be named today at some point. They're going to, Although I can take a good guess on most of those 40, it's going to be the big 40. I don't know, O'Hare, yeah. and JFK and Dulles and Philadelphia. Atlanta. I can take a good guess of what these 40 are. Jennifer, here's my thought. All right, now we're in State College here. We have a small airport here. It has a couple of gates and only two major airlines right now, at least, United and American. If they're going to cut back 10% of flights, would it be maybe smaller flights from regional airports that are going to be most affected by whatever this cutback turns out to be? Or am I maybe misreading that?
No, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think that's going to happen. It's going to be, the major airports. We'll have to see what happens with the smaller airports. I'm not quite sure. Entirely about that. I just know that it's important that they do cut back in regards to the 40 high traffic markets due to mainly the staffing shortfalls.
All right, now, Mr. Ironhead, help me out. American here flies to Philadelphia. United here flies to Dulles and Chicago. Yes, it's those two.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Jennifer, I'm just thinking, all those ones I just mentioned, Philadelphia, Dulles, and Chicago, I'm thinking they're going to be in that 40 list. And if they have to cut back flights, I could understand if they would say, well, these small fry flights, yeah, we don't really need that. We need the big planes. These small fry flights probably, who cares about them really so much, that they might be the ones to be more affected. That's why I mentioned, I'm thinking smaller airports might be really affected by this because the big airports might just say, well, we don't need to handle it. Not as many people fly on those little planes. We got to concentrate on the big planes. I don't know, maybe I'm misreading that. What do you think?
It's quite possible since they are flying into those larger hubs. It is very possible that could happen.
Okay. All right. Well, again, this list of airports is supposed to be announced today sometime, and then this is all supposed to start tomorrow. How does somebody become an air traffic controller? Because I'm assuming, is it a situation where we have a shortage right now, or is it all because the current people just, they're not getting a paycheck because of the shutdown? I mean, what's the real, or is it both of them? What's the real issue here?
I would say it's both of those. It's a long process, the whole eligibility requirements to become an FAA air traffic controller, it's a long process. Their requirements, like you have to be younger than 31 years old when you first apply, of course, be a U.S. citizen, all those things. And then you apply. They go through a major exam. I think it's called just off the top of my head, Air Traffic Skills Assessment, I think it's called. It's a computer-based test. I evaluate sort of like their memory, attention to focus, problem-solving skills, stuff like that. And also prioritizes like how they deal with issues under pressure. Because they're put under pressure a lot. They're really managing a lot in the sky. They're making sure planes are safely separated. They're guiding the pilots. This is a complex system that they're managing, that they're responsible for. And then they also attend what is the FAA Academy. And I think they go through sort of intensive training for several months. It could be 3 to 5 months, I believe. And that really helps them. So they go through intense amount of training to become air traffic controllers. And can you imagine right now, look at it. We are in the 37th day of the shutdown. This is the longest in history. And these folks are not being paid. Can you believe that? They're not getting paid. That is very upsetting.
Well, I won't disagree with you on that one.
And they're expected to work, by the way. They're ordered to work.
I was going to say, am I right? Some people, have I read these stories right? They call in sick, even though maybe they really aren't sick. They can still do that. So that would lead to the controller shortage, I guess, on particular days. They can do that, right?
Well, I'm sure I've read articles that's occurred. And quite frankly, they need to take care of their families. They're not getting paid. The morale is low. Can you imagine going to work and for 37 days and you don't have a paycheck yet? And then you're working overtime as well because there's a shortage? This is a problem. Government needs to, they need to end this. They need to end this immediately.
All right, Jeff, you know, and I, Jeff and I are in the studio and we're giggling. 37 days without being paid.
Yeah, 37
we're not
days.
Laughing,
we're not talking
but,
about 1 week.
Yeah, I mean, we're not
and
laughing.
Let's look at this.
We're not laughing at the situation, but it sounds an awful lot like local radio.
37 days. And you know what? Let's talk about this. So here's a fact most people don't realize. In the past 50 years, Congress has passed its budget on time. Only, do you want to guess how many times?
It's a small,
guess how many times in 50
small
years?
Small number.
Four times.
Four. Okay.
Four times in 50 years. They've only been able to pass the budget on time four times. Instead, we get short-term fixes, continuing resolutions. That keeps things running temporarily, but that doesn't fix these sort of like long-term problems.
I don't know.
That stop and start funding keeps safety programs in limbo, right? It delays critical initiatives. It adds uncertainty for both aviation workers and travelers. It's terrible.
I don't know.
I would not want to go to work either after 37 days if I wasn't being paid. I would not want to go to work.
Should we tell Jennifer that we're from Pennsylvania and they don't seem to have a budget either?
Yeah.
it's
you can imagine.
I mean, it's been an interesting fall, yes. Now, you mentioned that there, I guess the FAA has an academy. I've got a story here. They've got an official academy in Oklahoma City, which I guess is where they mm-hmm. do that training you were talking about. Apparently, there are some colleges now that have courses in being an air traffic controller.
Huh.
And for what it's worth, I've got a New York Times story here. One of those is the Community College of Beaver County, which is over in Monaca. So think Pittsburgh area.
Oh, yeah.
If you go there, apparently you can take courses to become an air traffic controller. And, Jennifer, it sounds like just right off the bat, we need air traffic controllers. Now, forget the shutdown and all this thing. I'm assuming air traffic controllers are well paid. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay. You have any idea how much? I'm just curious. Six figures?
They don't start off making six figures, I don't think. I thought it was their starting pay. I mean, while in training, I believe it's around $55,000. And then once they're fully trained, it's six figures. $100,000, $150,000, $170,000. I forget. I don't have those notes directly in front of me, but I know it's six figures. Fully certified controllers we're talking about.
Okay, right.
Depending on location and facility level. That depends on the level of how much they earn as well.
Now, if I'm in a control tower, it isn't just one controller in the control tower. I'm assuming they work in teams, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, all right. So, folks, if you're looking for a new job, there's one. And again,
but how attractive is that? How attractive is that when they're not being paid? Right. Like we want to attract air traffic controllers, but it's been 37 days and they haven't been paid. This is a problem. They haven't been paid. And so we've got to do something about this. I will say that I am excited because our organization, Affordable Skies, joined forces with Modern Skies Coalition. They put out a statement just this morning at 8 a.m., and it was sent to Congress. And I'm just giving you some background. The Modern Skies Coalition is sort of a broad industry coalition. It's made up of 50 organizations that represent all sectors of aviation, like airlines, general aviation, airport associations, labor unions, and consumer groups like Affordable Skies. And I would like to read to you the statement that they sent to Congress this morning.
All right.
The aviation community stands united in calling on Congress to end the shutdown without delay. This prolonged shutdown has strained the aviation system and its dedicated workforce to unacceptable levels of stress and disruption. The American flying public deserves nothing less than a fully operational aviation system. It's time for Congress to act decisively. So we signed on to that letter along with probably close to 50 other organizations. And hopefully that makes some impact today. That did go out this morning. So
now, besides the air traffic controllers, Jennifer, I mean, are other airline or airport jobs affected by this shutdown? We hear about the controllers a lot. Are there other people being directly affected by this?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yeah, other government employees, like the TSA workers, they're not being paid. The airports, they probably have to scale back operations. I mean, if they don't have much business, you have to scale that back. So just the whole entire travel ecosystem as a whole has been effective. I know that the CEO of U.S. Travel put out a notice. It was the end of September 25th. He says there's $1 billion lost every week, the impact of a government shutdown on travel. So $1 billion, 88% of Americans agree members of Congress from both parties should work together to avoid a shutdown. 69% of Americans would be less likely to vote for a member of Congress if they supported a government shutdown. But it costs the travel industry $1 billion a week.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money, yeah. Okay, in that regard, have airfares gone up? Like in the last month and a half, because of the shutdown, has this directly affected what we're paying to take a flight right now?
I have not seen any evidence of that.
Okay, well, there's good news. All right, there's a piece. There's a piece of good news. All right. Just a hunch. All right. Again, you mentioned your political strategy background earlier. You have an idea when this is all going to end? You have any clue? Any insight?
Well, I mean, we're hearing that they want to, Congress wants to pass a continued resolution. You know, it's like slapping a Band-Aid on a severed arm. They want to pass one of those, but that would only take us until December 16th in the height of still the spirit of the holidays. That doesn't fix anything. We don't know. Like, Congress needs to get it together. We elect these members of Congress to represent our communities, and look, they're letting us down. They need to get it together. Safety is at risk when it comes to air travel. They need to get it together. They talk about safety. Safety? Okay, well, let's talk about safety. Pass the budget. Work together and pass the budget.
All right.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. I've had members reach out to us about this.
They want
understanding, clear understanding as to why this is going on still, and it's been going on this long.
All right. Earlier this week, there was that UPS plane in Louisville that barely got off the ground and then, just ugly.
That's very sad.
I mean, that's UPS. That's a private company. This shutdown didn't have anything at all to do with that, would it? What do you think?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, UPS, private company, had an old plane, apparently, and something went wrong, and terrible things
happened.
Yeah,
I know that the NTSB and the Department of Transportation, FAA, they're investigating. They do a great job with their investigations. I would say that this is not an air traffic controller issue.
The NTSB is working right now on a shutdown?
They're working. Okay, yeah, they're working right. Whenever investigations come or any issues, they stand up and they address those.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break here. All right. Again, our guest is Jennifer Rikoszewski from Affordable Skies. Folks, I tell you what, check the website. A lot of great info there, and you can become a member. All right. The information's all there. AffordableSkies.org. All right, Jennifer, when we come back, we're going to talk about holiday travel. We'll try to push the shutdown out of the way. Yeah, good luck with that. And get some ideas. The number one question I'm going to ask you, Jennifer, when we come back is, for years I've seen, if you want to book the best flight, you need to book on this day or this, like, so many days before you take your trip. I've never bought into that, but I want to get your opinion. Well, so hold that thought.
I have some insights for you on that.
Ooh, excellent. There we go, Mr. Ironhead. All right. You're listening to Let's Talk, folks, here on 98.7 The Fox. If you're going to be doing some traveling, and even if you are, don't be going anywhere. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel.
But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's big show.
Again, we're joined by Jennifer Rikoszewski from the group Affordable Skies, which we'd all like. Come on, folks. All right. AffordableSkies.org. A lot of great information on their website.
Safe and affordable skies.
Safe. Well, safe is important.
Yes.
That is true. All right. Now, Jennifer, now, again, we've got a small airport here. At one point, we had four airlines for a brief time flying out of here. Now it's just two. And there's something out there called the Airport Gate Competition Act. Now, here at State College, yeah, there's like a couple of gates. It's not that hard. One, two, maybe there's a third. I can't remember, and that's all there is. Now, I did some flying last week by chance. And I was in Orlando International, which is a major airport. Let's see, how many gates do they have? I think it's triple digits. I mean, they have a lot of gates. So what is this act, the Airport Gate Competition Act? What is this and why should we care?
Yeah, so we at Affordable Skies, we're 100% supportive of this act. It helps to level the playing field for smaller and new entrant airlines. So at many airports, large carriers, they hold on to long-term gate leases that block competition. They literally block it. When that happens, fees go up and travelers lose choices. So this Airport Gate Competition Act would help open gate access, especially for smaller airports. And what that does in turn is it creates more competition, better service, and lower fares. We know that smaller airports are vital to their communities, such as yours, but they struggle to keep service. So increasing gate access and reducing barriers for new carriers can give these airports an advantage. So we see it as a win situation for these smaller airports to support the Airport Gate Competition Act.
Okay.
What I see it as, it gives them a real fighting chance to grow.
Now, off the top of your head, I guess, the major airlines, I think everybody knows, you know, United, Delta, American, Southwest, and I'm not thinking about the foreign airlines now. I'm thinking about American ones. How many smaller airlines are there? I mean, I don't know if you have a number off the top of your head or you can mention some names. Is that a growing number, the smaller airline group? Who are these people?
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant number. I mean, you got Allegiant, you have Avelo, you have Breeze, you have Spirit Airlines, you have Frontier Airlines. Those all offer affordable choices to travelers. But those would be considered LFAs, low-fare airlines.
Now, and these, the ones you just mentioned, they're very open to expanding to new places like, say, State College? Or
Many of them are. Many of them, they focus on that leisure travel as well. So, yes, they do fly into the smaller regional airports.
Okay. Because I'll mention this out loud, all right? Again, I was flying last week. I didn't fly out of here because the prices were, in my opinion, excessive. So in my case, I flew out of Allentown to Florida, vacation, okay? I flew Allegiant. I mean, even with the shutdown, Jennifer, everything went smoothly. The only time we hit a delay is when we landed in Orlando on time, and we sat on the tarmac for a half an hour waiting for other planes to get out of the way because we couldn't get to a gate.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar, Jennifer?
It sounds familiar.
Okay. All right. It's like, now is that...
So what the Airport Gate Competition Act, it would require that airport proprietors provide reasonable access to terminal facilities, you know, like the gates, ticket counters, baggage claims, those things. For carriers, rather than allowing one or two dominant carriers to exclusively control them, I had a consumer reach out to us not long ago, and she said that she was on the tarmac almost an hour, and she opened up her shade, and she could see that there were gates available. Of course, she sees gates, she sees that there aren't planes there, and she asked me why they couldn't park there. And I said, well, I'm not quite sure. She's like, well, it would have been nice if, you know, even the pilot or the crew explained to us why we had to sit on the tarmac for so long. She's like, I couldn't believe it wasn't explained to us. And she says, I came across your website. I see that you're supporting the Airport Gate Competition Act, and I think this is a really good idea. And I said, it's a very good idea.
All right.
So maybe that would lessen the chance of having to sit on the tarmac for quite some time. Because they do. They need to get to their gates. And if there are limited gates that are available, then, I mean, they need to sit and wait. So.
Now, on my flight, or our flight, the pilot came on a couple of times on the PA system. Okay, folks, here's what's going on. And we're all groaning. This was a half an hour. Yes. When the plane started to move to a gate, of course, everybody, yay! We all cheered.
Oh, very
like,
good.
Want to get off this damn plane. I was like, oh, my gosh. All right. Other than that, was smooth. Everything was great. I mean, security was great. Everything was smooth last week.
Well, I'm glad that the pilot communicated that with you guys, because there are times when, you know, consumers are upset because they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. They don't hear why what the reason is for them waiting. So,
all right, now we have a couple of holidays coming up. This Thanksgiving thing is in 3 weeks, and then about 4 weeks after that is this Christmas thing, which I'm told are pretty popular for flying and so on. Now, okay, with the shutdown, have you seen any numbers? It's still going to be heavy business.
Yeah.
Let's just stick with Thanksgiving. 3 weeks from today.
Okay.
It's still going to be heavy business for that holiday?
Well, it is. And, you know, we know that that's one of the busiest travel periods of the year. So the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and the Sunday after are typically the heaviest travel days. So airports are packed, and flight demand peaks during those days. So this year, even with the ongoing shutdown and staffing pressures, travelers should expect longer lines and tighter schedules. So if you can, I would suggest traveling on Tuesday or Saturday, or even early Thanksgiving morning. Those are usually the lightest and most affordable travel windows.
Oh, like right on the day.
Yeah.
Okay. And then have your turkey for dinner or something like that.
That's,
all right. That
makes
sense. Now, Jennifer, I've seen these stories or posts on social media for a very long time. This is when you should book. This is how soon before your trip you should go. And I'm thinking, okay, how do these people even know this stuff? So, Jennifer, here we go. I'm going to make you the guinea pig. I'm throwing this at you. When it comes picking gates and whatever, give us some advice.
So here's the reality. This is the truth, okay? I've looked at extensive amounts of data pieces to be able to share this with you. The cheapest days to fly are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Tuesday is consistently the cheapest overall. And that's because airlines often release their fare sales late Monday night. And by Tuesday mid-morning, competitors match prices. So, and business travel demand is lower on Tuesday. Leisure travel hasn't even ramped up yet, so keeping fares low. Tuesday is the best day overall. Now, Wednesday is a close second for lowest fares. Midweek flights are less popular with both business and leisure travels. Mornings and midday departures are typically the best bargains. You go online today and you check that, you'll see that those are typically the best bargain times on a Wednesday. And then Saturday is often cheaper than Fridays and Sundays. And that's because leisure travelers usually prefer to depart Thursday or Friday and return Sunday. So Saturday flights, especially midday flights, can be less expensive. And when we talk about the sweet spot for booking, that's typically 36 to 72 days before your flight. 36 to 72.
You taking notes here, Mr. Ironhead?
I am taking
Ironhead?
Notes here.
All right, because you're already looking at a trip like next spring or something.
Correct.
Like that, right?
Yep, and okay. In March we're
36. Okay, now Jennifer, 36 to 72 days. Why? Why that slot?
That's a sweet spot. The data shows us that's a sweet spot. That's a good time to book. Because the fares are they're low at that time. You know, as you get closer to the day, the fares are there. It's a supply and demand issue. This is a business, okay? And the airlines are able to look at the supply and see the demand, and they adjust their ticket prices accordingly. So being able to get your booking out like 36 to 72 days out, you're at a really good sweet spot to likely get the most affordable rate.
All right there, buddy. There you go.
I have it jotted down.
You've got it written down. All right. Now, Jennifer, when it comes to airfare changes, and I've seen this, are people doing this? Are computers making the changes? Who sets airfares? Where does that come from?
I mean, there are people that are doing it. Now, some organizations, they dabbled into AI to help them with their dynamic pricing. But they use a computerized system and then manually. I've talked to folks where they say, hey, I work in our dynamic pricing, section of our company, and I go in and I'm able to, manage and change the prices of these airfares, depending on that supply and demand. So I would say it's a mix of both, depending on the airline.
All right. Now you mentioned AI, and I was going to bring that up. Do you know, is there an airline out there, or maybe they're all doing it, actively using AI to do something with, you know, setting their airfares or changing them? That's all being done by some AI computer, or is that still in the future somewhere?
I mean, Delta was dabbling in, or still is, with AI to set personalized ticket prices. I know that people were looking at and watching that very closely. So, yes, Delta was. And, or maybe still is, I'm not quite sure. I can follow up with you on that. But yes, there are for sure Delta Airlines.
Just Delta, okay. Well,
yeah, and the AI for pricing, it falls under what they call dynamic pricing.
What does that mean?
Have used. So it's when they go in and they're able to process the sort of the variables of the flights for faster and perhaps personalized. They can personalize the flights by seeing like where they are within supply and demand to go in and make those adjustments.
All right. Now, Jennifer, I'd like to think I'm a pretty smart guy, even though I'm dumb as a brick, but that's okay. I can't outrace an AI with anything. So if I'm just a traveler, all right, give me some advice or us advice, Jennifer. I want to save money on airfares. What do I do? Because it just sounds like there's pretty much nothing I can do.
Yeah, you could save money on airfares by, again, going and booking early enough and just, you know, looking at sort of like, I'm a huge fan of the low-fare airlines, okay? They give a lot of affordable options to consumers. Now, do understand that there are, you know, you have to pay extra for, you know, things that you want. Like if you want to purchase, have two bags, you pay for that. If you want to purchase the ancillary items, beverages on the plane, you pay for that. But there are many people that go on these affordable flights for $33, and they don't want anything else. They travel with their backpack and water bottle. They don't want anything, and they get these $33 flights. So, but you know, with So just understanding the peak days, off and on days. Like the cheapest days to fly, I mentioned, are Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. The most expensive days are Fridays and Sundays. So, I would say a pro tip is also to use Google Flights, their data grid. And just you can go on there and use their date grid to see like sort of that color-coded fare schedule, and you can instantly spot cheaper days for from Google Flights. So I highly recommend that.
Jennifer, is there any airline that still has free drinks?
Yes.
There is? Because it wasn't the one I was on last week. Now, granted,
there are airlines that still do, yeah.
Okay. Because, granted, we were on a nonstop because we had two little ones, my grandchildren. We didn't want to have to go bouncing through an extra airport and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, the very kind flight attendants came through the plane, and it was like $5 for a can of soda. And I'm thinking, I think I can wait till I get to my destination before I need a beverage.
Yeah. And so, again, I know American Airlines, JetBlue Airways, United, Delta, they all offer their beverages that are part of the package, your flight package. I mean, that's included. But on these affordable flights that you're talking about, you pay for those extras. There are a lot of people that don't want beverages, so they don't get one. And those that do, you do pay extra for that. So,
okay.
But it's the freedom to choose how you would like to fly. I kind of like that idea. Do you? The freedom to choose.
That's a great thing. I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like to think about it that way, because instead of saying, oh, they're nickel and diming us, no, they're giving you the freedom to choose how you want to travel. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, now, Jennifer, off top of your head, all right, compare American Airlines, not the company, airlines in America, with foreign airlines. I'm thinking Europe, Asia, and so on, those ones from the Middle East. Which are better? I get the feeling American Airlines kind of trail the other guys.
I would think so, too. Yeah, I mean, they're very different, right? I mean, it's for a typical domestic economy traveler on American, like, you know, there, it's just a different, it's a slightly different experience. You know, there's a distinction between sort of that domestic and sort of international long haul. There's just differences between like the foreign and American. Like you take Air Canada. They do things very similarly to what we do here in America with our flights here. But then you take Air France, right? They include champagne on their flights. I mean, it's just different. These different airlines in different countries do different things.
Yeah,
but they're very similar in many ways as well.
All right. Yeah, my wife and I took a trip to Italy over 3 years ago. Had a great time for a week, and we flew through Germany. And at one point, we were on a Lufthansa flight. That was a long flight. It was over the Atlantic Ocean, okay? And at one point, they come out with, okay, meal service. I'm like, okay, great. And the meal, Jennifer, I had on that Lufthansa flight was terrific.
I've heard good things, yeah.
I'm thinking, this is great. Our airlines don't seem to do that, unless you're in first class or something and pay a bazillion dollars. When I was on that one foreign flight, Lufthansa, I was very impressed, and the flight attendants were extremely professional. I thought, well, this is really great. I could do this more often. And I've seen the commercials for these Middle Eastern airlines, like Emirates Airlines and so on, and their planes look like, oh my gosh, I should dress up to get on this plane.
Oh yeah.
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 Do they dress up to get on those planes? Because that's what it looks like.
They do.
Like.
And we used to dress up to get on our planes here in the United States back when this all began. And it's just different now. It's a lot different here in the United States than it is, you know, in other countries.
Hmm.
But I understand, you know, I had there was a consumer that reached out to Affordable Skies, and she said, bring in the subject line, bring back the spirit of flying. And she said, when I started flying, it was so, like, just such a better experience, you know, just the service was, and everyone was excited to fly. She's like, you get on a flight now, and people are frumpy, and they don't want to be here, and it seems like the staff is upset with their jobs. And she said, you know, it's just such a different experience now than it was, she says, like 40 years ago, 35, 30 years ago. So that was interesting to read that email.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mr. Myronhead, I've asked all my questions. You're going to take a trip here in a few months. What do you got there?
Yeah, no, I got the info I needed with the the timing. Hopefully, we've got to have this thing end within the next couple of weeks. right, with the shutdown.
Jennifer, what do you think?
I'm hoping so. Again, otherwise they're going to pass that continuing resolution, that CR, which will take us to December 16th and the height of travel still. So I'm just really hoping that our letter made an impact with that, with the Modern Skies Coalition. I hope that that statement made an impact, and we'll see what happens day by day. But these Congress needs to stand up and really look after the American people, and safety is number one. They constantly say that. Well, then mean it. Don't just say it. Mean it. Safety is number one. Mean it. So, and let's get these air traffic controllers and these TSA agents paid immediately. Yeah, they're going to get their back pay, but that they have families to feed. They have gas they need to put in their vehicle to get to work. This is unacceptable.
I was going
to
say, there is retroactive pay whenever these politicians finally get this going again. All right, that's good.
That is correct, yeah. Right. But that doesn't solve the issue right now when they need funding for their families and to get to work. So, anyway, it's very upsetting.
All right, Jennifer, we appreciate your time. Once again, folks, check out this website. If you do any kind of flying, I mean, like once a year, once every 2 years or something like that, affordableskies.org. You can look at the membership options there. There's just free membership, which means you get on their newsletter list. And the other membership, Jennifer, what'd you say? It's a whopping $10 a year.
$10 a year. And then all members get access to our lounge. So come on in and check it out. It's pretty exciting.
All right. Well, Jennifer, we appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have just a few minutes left. I don't know, folks, if you've got an airline story you'd like to share, that's fine. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Few minutes remaining. We'd be happy to hand that over to you at 814-954-7266.
All right, there we go. Again, we have an open line program tomorrow. All that political election stuff tomorrow. Oh, we got things to talk about.
Well, you got to think at some point the shutdown will get resolved, because how long can these Congress members go without their pay? And when everything's shut down. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Huh. That's fairly incredible.
That's a bone of contention, is it?
It is a big bone of contention.
It is a dinosaur-sized bone of contention. And again, it's just another reason. And this isn't a party thing in that case. This is another reason to be outraged at the federal government.
Yes.
All right? And it's not hard to be outraged at these people. They absolutely shouldn't be getting paid anything either. What's going on in Harrisburg?
Does anybody out there think for a moment that if they were not getting their pay, this thing would go on 37 days? There is zero chance.
Probably not.
Not a chance.
Now, I don't know. I mean, a member of Congress, I don't know their salary, $150,000 a year or something like that. Probably they put some of that money away, so could they exist on their savings, which is what a lot of other people are doing right now. All right, the air traffic controllers, the TSA security people at an airport, and so on.
Yeah.
They're either existing on their savings or taking out loans or dipping into their home equity line of credit or something like that. Yeah. That is a little crazy. Now, of course, it would take an act of Congress for them to not get paid when they do this again. Good luck with that. All right.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. That's not going to happen. I really want to fly out of state college. I really do. But proximity, you know, local support, all that sort of thing. But I, by chance, just by happenstance yesterday, I hopped on a travel app, all right, an airline, you know, app, one of these. And I just was popping in some locations and dates and so on out of state college, and I'm looking like, holy crap, are you kidding me? And then I looked at some other airlines. I mean, I'll say it out loud again. My family and I flew out of Allentown last week on our trip. We flew Allegiant. And we were able to get a nonstop flight, which we liked, because, again, my little grandchildren were on the flight, and we didn't want to go, you know, bouncing through a second airport to get to a second flight. We didn't want to do any of that. So that was good. And, frankly, the rate we paid for Allentown Allegiant was like half what I would have paid coming out of here. Half. That was worth the 2.5-hour drive. Because I wasn't flying alone, obviously. It was family. It was a family trip. And so you can include all of us. We saved, all right? So I'm sorry. Now, there's no quick answers to this solution. Again, local folks, our friends from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau have been, you know, beating the drums and so on. The small airline Breeze, which does non-stops to a lot of vacation spots like Florida and some other places. They're trying really hard to get Breeze in here. Haven't heard anything yet. There was that airline summit a few weeks ago, a big meeting where they all talked about it and so on. Hopefully for 2026, maybe this Breeze will say, yep, let's do state college, all right? That would be great. Now, here's the thing. Allegiant was here for a brief time. Not many people flew them. So Allegiant's like, okay, see ya. All right, they went to places like Allentown, where I'm not sure if they have flights every single day. Actually, I think they do. Allegiant has flights like every single day. Great. So you have some choice. Jennifer talked about choice.
Yeah.
So we will see what the future holds, but something's got to give as far as local air travel is concerned. I don't have any quick answers. But something's got to give. Otherwise, and I want to see these flight cuts here in the next couple days. Who gets affected? I still wonder if it's us. The little guy, the little planes will be the most effective. Let's get the little planes out of the way. We concentrate on the big planes. That's a guess. We'll sit back. We'll see what happens. All right, there we go. Hey, folks, it's a nice day. Definitely cooler today. We'll see you tomorrow for Open Line Friday Election Talk. Oh, yes. Tune in.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.